Welcome again to this last episode in the book of Judges. We have said before that although there are 13 judges and one the apostate Abimelech, because he was self-appointed and not appointed by God, he was very wicked, of course. We have the other 12 whom we have divided into what we call the major and minor prophets. And we have chosen as our major prophets Othniel, Deborah, Gideon, and now the last one, Samson. And I think everybody has heard of Samson. And he is known, of course, for his great strength. But we have a lot of lessons to learn from the life of Samson. And I'd like to, first of all, consider what his name means in Hebrew. And it actually means sunlight. Sunlight. Well, you know, sun is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, God is light, and in him is no shadow or turning. Would to God we could say the same concerning Samson. Yes, he was to be like a rising sun in a nation because of the terrible oppression of the Philistines. He came from the tribe of Dan. And Dan basically had two inheritances. They had one towards the south, and they had one towards the north. And Samson came from this enclave here by the seashore and in the territory of the Philistines. And he ministered there. Now then, we want to look at Samson. And he was birthed, if I might say that, by a word from God. His father was Manoah, and his mother unnamed. She was barren, one of the barren women in the Word of God. Those who bore no children until God met them. And they all brought forth sons of significance. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, brought forth Isaac. Well, there was Hannah who brought Samuel. And here we have Manoah's wife who brought forth Samson. Now then, the angel comes to Manoah's wife, who is barren, and says, you are going to conceive. But the son is very special, and he is to be a Nazarite from the womb, and a Nazarite all his life. Now, the law tells us that a Nazarite was one who was separated unto God for as long as his vow was kept. And essentially, the two things that a Nazarite had to do was to let his hair grow and not cut it. And secondly, that he was not to drink anything from the vine, especially wine or hard liquor. Now, the purpose was that he was to stay away from alcohol. And we're told in Hosea that alcohol, strong drink, will take away the heart. And so it's very understandable. Anybody making a vow to consecrate himself to God for a time would not drink alcohol, because we're told wine is a mocker by King Solomon, and wine brings you into all kinds of difficulty. So it's very clear why the angel would say that to Manoah's wife. The child is not to drink strong drink, nothing from the vine. But the second one, the hare. Hare speaks of separation. And hair was to grow, and it was not to be cut, signifying a life of separation to the purpose of God. And that was very wonderful. But I want to say this, that it was an outward consecration, an outward consecration. And many people do make outward consecrations. Outward consecrations. But the problem is there was no inward consecration. And the heart of Samson was filled with lust for women. Now, we've got to be very careful, you know, in devoting our life to God. We must obviously have outward separation. In other words, we mustn't do things outwardly that are wrong. But, you see, it is the heart. What are the desires of the heart? And, regretfully, Samson desired women. He desired women. And so, we are going to have this mixture in the heart of Samson. A dedication to God, the will of God, but also immorality that is going to destroy him. And is that not true of so many leaders, so many Christians? You know, yes, oh, they've got a wonderful ministry, but they do not deal with the lusts of the flesh. They do not deal with the lust for women, or regretfully also the lust for men. Either it's homosexuality or it's womenizing that bring them down. And there they are in the pulpit preaching the word of God, and yet in their hearts and in their lives committing adultery. You know, this is very near to me. Because when I was in France, I was placed by the president of the churches in France under the care of a pastor who was esteemed to be the most godly, the most spiritual pastor in France. And certainly, you know, his outward life seemed to be that way. The conversations and so forth that we had. And certainly in the church, we were seeing healing after healing after healing, conversion after conversion. God was certainly blessing. God was certainly blessing. But, you know, there was an area that he had not dealt with. Well, the time came for me to leave France, and I went to Switzerland. And there in Switzerland, enjoyed the presence of God. It was a whole different ministry. I was under another godly man who was truly godly. But news came. News came after a number of years that that pastor had been moved to the largest church in France. And, you know, everybody was so happy with, you know, his ministry, and then they suddenly realized, well, the presence of God has lifted. Well, for 3 years it continued like that. And then afterwards, the dreadful truth came out. For 3 years, he'd been living a double life. He'd been living with another woman apart from his wife. The truth came out. And of course he had to resign, and regretfully, you know, he couldn't get back to God. He committed suicide. For me, it was an indelible mark on my life. One that I've repeated in many nations where I've gone as warnings, warnings to ministers and members of congregation alike. You know, I was in Romania, and we just crossed over from the Ukraine, and we were invited to speak that night at a meeting. Well, it seemed to be a village. We thought it was going to be a very small meeting. We had a long journey. We had, I think, been ministering in the morning, and we had a long journey through the customs and so forth. We came to this little town, this little village, and I was thinking, oh yes, it's going to be a small meeting, another pastor with me, and a very godly man, and there we were. And we were thinking it was a small meeting. Neither of us really had a message, you see. I certainly did not, and he was a little concerned as to exactly what his message would be, you see. But I said, well, you go first, and then if there's need for me to speak, I'll speak afterwards. Well, he spoke, and it was my turn, and I still hadn't got a message. And you know what the Lord gave me? Suicide. Speak on suicide. Speak on the experience of this pastor. And actually, I had seen him 5 years after he had died. He still in the place. His spirit was still in the place where he had committed suicide. And I spoke on this. And then, you know, my eyes went to this magnificent church. I said I thought it was going to be a small gathering. I don't know. There's about 1,000 people there. And here I'm going to speak on suicide. Well, I could see people tighten up. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a very difficult time. And I started to look at the magnificent building. The magnificent building. You know, the church. And I said, I found myself saying, you know, you contributed to this wonderful building. And I said, yet a far better house awaits you in heaven. And I described my wife's house, although I've never seen it, but others have seen it in heaven, that you know how beautiful it is. And then I said, you know, your liaison with your secretary, you know, confess, break it. God will forgive you. God wants to give you this wonderful house in heaven. Well, I finished, and of course, you know, I finished with a prayer, and that was it. It's still stony silence, and then somebody gets up, and there's a song afterwards. And I'm wondering, what is this all about? Well, when I come down, the pastor who had just come in and had heard the message, and I didn't know that he had come in because the deputy pastor was the one who introduced me. He said, spot on. Spot on. He said, the one that financed this church is the wealthy owner of the factory that employs nearly everybody in the village. And he got involved with his secretary, who was also a Christian. And now he's in remorse, and he has threatened to commit suicide. So there you are. You see, it can happen. Well, thank God, God preserved that brother. But here is Samson. Oh, dear me. What do we see? We see duality in Samson. We see two streams in Samson. The first we see is one of tremendous strength. Here is, and I'm not necessarily taking them in order, but here we see a lion. And the lion comes out against Samson, and the Spirit of God comes on Samson, the Spirit of might, one of the seven spirits of the Lord. Tremendous strength. He just rips this lion apart, leaves it there, and he's on his way to get a wife. And his parents plead with him, look, you're going for a Philistinian girl, and that should not be. You're unequally yoked. You're going to be with someone who's in the world instead of a girl of your own tribe, your own nation. Samson wouldn't listen. He said, get me that girl. Well, he comes back, and during his absence, bees have gone into the carcass of the lion, and they have produced honey. And here is a beautiful parable, a beautiful truth that we will do well to recognize. And the phrase that is developed from this is that out of the strong came forth sweetness. Now, I know that that is used as a parable, and, you know, it's going to be used later on by Samson. But I want to stress it at the moment to you. You know, out of the strong come forth sweetness. And that is very, very true. A strong person can be very kind and gracious. A weak man, no. And so we want to develop God's strength within us, that we can be gracious and kind to all those around us. From the strength comes forth sweetness. Well, you know, Samson, after a time, goes back, and here again, he gets into trouble with a girl, and he goes into another girl. It's a whole litany of his life. Terrible. But, you know, the Philistines say to the girl, you know, get him to tell you the reason why he is so strong so that we can take him. Well, essentially, without going into all this in great detail, you know, Samson said, you know, I will tell you a riddle, and if you can give me the answer to the Philistines, I will give you garments. If not, you give me garments. Well, they said, what is the riddle? And so he said, you know, out of the strong come forth sweetness. So he said to the girl, you find out what the answer is. And if not, we burn your house. Well, she pleaded with Samson, couldn't get the answer. And then eventually he told her. And so he comes down, and he said, well, have you solved the riddle? And then they said, well, from the lion comes forth the bee. He said, if you hadn't played with my woman, he said, you wouldn't have known it. So he slew them. Well, there's another sordid situation of Samson with another woman, a prostitute. And he goes into a Philistine in a village with this woman. And they find out that he is there. And they determine to capture him when daybreak comes. But he rises up at midnight and carries, you know, the gates of the city way up to Hebron. You know, about 20, 30 miles. Tremendous strength. And then, what are some of his other miracles? 300 foxes. He gathers them together. Now, have you ever heard of two foxes being together? Very rarely. They're very smart. They stay apart. 300. The Spirit of God brought them there. He tied their tails together, put a flaming torch in them, sends them through the wheat fields of the Philistines, burns up their land. And of course, then fights them with the jawbone of an ass. Well, I mention all these things, but you see, then we come to the other woman that is so well known in history, and to which Samson is aligned. Now, her name is Delilah. And again, you know, a Philistinian woman, he always chooses the wrong women. Instead of being aligned with the people of his nation, he's aligned with the others. And so here he comes to Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines say to Delilah, find out the key of his strength. Well, Delilah asks him, and he gives, some reason. They test it out, it isn't true. And so it goes on for about 7 days. And Samson should have fled and got out. But no, he's so captivated by this woman, this Delilah, that he stays with her, even realizing that her sole purpose is to find out the key to his strength, whereby the Philistines can kill him. Anybody who had any sense would have gotten out. But no, he remains captivated by her sensuality. And eventually, because of her persistence, in weariness, he cries out, look, if they cut my 7 locks, which speak of the 7 spirits of the Lord, if they cut my hair, those 7 locks of my hair, I will be like another man. And Delilah realizes, yes, now he has given away his secret. And so she causes him to fall asleep. And she sends, you know, to the lords of the Philistines, now I know the reason for his strength is his outward consecration. And so they bring a man in who shears these 7 locks from the head of Samson. Well, Samson is unaware of this. And so when she cries out, Samson, the Philistines are upon thee, he arises like times of old, thinking the power and strength and presence of God is with him. And he goes out, but he's weak. And they take him prisoner. You know what they did? They tore out his eyes. They burnt out his eyes. And you know, that's what can happen to us. We lose everything if we do not deal with these flaws in our lives. You know, how many have lost their ministry? How many have actually lost their lives and been reduced to absolute nothingness? You know, the tale in history of ancient Rome. Some pastors there were not living as they should. You know what happened? God arranged that they be enslaved and they be brought into the stables just to clean up the manure of the horses and the cattle, reduced to absolute slavery because of their disobedience. Oh, God brings people down. I've seen people brought into prison because they have not dealt with flaws in their lives. Oh, please, remember Samson and be not like him. But you know, God is a God of restoration. And here they are making fun of him. They're in a huge house. And there are 2 principal pillars holding up this house and holding up about 3,000 people. Now the hair has begun to grow again. The consecration is coming back. And Samson cries out to God in desperation. He said, "Oh God, give me this last opportunity to serve you. Oh Lord, let thy strength come back into me, that I might slay these Philistines with myself." Well, God hearkened to his prayer. Little boy put his arms on two pillars, not knowing what he was doing, of course. And slowly, you see, he brings these pillars down. And he kills in his death more than he killed in his life. Well, that's the mercy of God. But is that the kind of death we want? No. We want to leave this life in absolute victory, having dealt with those lusts of the flesh, having dealt with fear like with Gideon and so forth. We deal with those things that our impartation to others whom we minister to is pure and holy, and that by the grace of God, they will carry on the work that we have indeed been privileged to found. So may God grant that, yes, you be like a Samson, consecrated, but not with those terrible flaws in your heart. God bless you. Amen.